The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips. At participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
Light out, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Lights Out Podcast. I'm your host, Josh. As always, I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Austin.
Hey, hey.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And we've got behind the cameras, we've got, well, actually he's in front of a camera now. We got Daniel, the producer. What's up, man?
What's up, everybody?
I just want to say first off, on our last episode, you know, Daniel was on camera a little bit more and just the comments in general. We've been doing these live premieres on YouTube, which has been a lot of fun. Austin's on them every week.
Oh my God. We've had such a blast. We're just shooting the shit.
I was on there for a little bit. I usually am like kind of like creeping.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'll post something every now and then, but I do watch most of them when I can. And just the comments and the conversation that's going on. I mean, we did the Ouija board murders and all that. There's a lot of opinions on that one.
Oh yeah.
People are like, you know, cautioning us about playing with the Ouija board.
Yeah, people were like, I wouldn't dare touch that. And other people were kind of joking about it, but yeah.
Others were like, yeah, let's see. That's content we want to see.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thanks to everybody who has, you know, joined the premieres and, you know, participates in that and just all the amazing feedback on the crew and everything. And just, you know, that means a lot to me personally. And I know to the rest of the guys, just, you know, you guys being so welcoming and, you know, bringing them into the show and, you know, the dynamic on here has just gotten so much better. I feel like the content's gotten better and, you know, the conversations that we're having is just, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know about you, but
yeah, same. And yeah, come hang out every Friday.
Yeah, 12:30 Mountain Standard Time or 2:30 Eastern Standard Time is usually when we're going live with those episodes on YouTube. But if you're not a YouTube person, that's totally fine. Make sure, though, you're watching the episode on Spotify because we also have the video over there. And we'd really appreciate it if you're making sure you're following us there and subscribing on YouTube. It does really help us out. But today's episode is brought to you by my CBD company, actually, Higher Love Wellness. I've got some new sleep products I'm excited to announce. And we've got stamps.com. But today we're going to be diving into another cryptid. It's been a little while since we've talked cryptids. And so I'm excited today to bring to you the Chupacabra. The Chupacabra. Very, very infamous one, should I say.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's like one of the ones that, you know, when it comes to cryptids, people immediately go to. It's like Bigfoot, Chupacabra. I feel like those are the two big ones.
And Chupacabra hits home, right? Because in the U.S., it's also fairly new. So
Right. We have a lot of Chupacabra sightings in Texas, it seems like.
Yeah.
So any of you Texans have any stories regarding the Chupacabra, drop them in the comments. So we'd love to see it. So yeah, we're going to be getting into the Chupacabra. And obviously, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, our next merch collection is going to be a cryptid collection. So maybe the Chupacabra just might make his way into that collection, which I'm very excited to see how that all comes together. Hopefully we'll be announcing a, you know, date that drops here in the next couple weeks, I'm hoping. But let's just go ahead and dive right into things. This is the Chupacabra.
It's been a mystery since 1995, with sightings all over the U.S., from Texas to Maine. The legend says the elusive dog-like creature attacks livestock, bleeding them dry of blood.
El Chupacabras.
Un Chupacabras.
Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra.
The legendary Chupacabra.
Big, long, pointy ears, long tail, had no skin.
It's a coyote with mange, come on.
Before 1995, no one had ever claimed to have seen one.
An elusive animal said to feed off the blood of livestock.
The first sighting, allegedly in Puerto Rico.
Could it be a blood-sucking chupacabra is on the loose?
There have been thousands of sightings since then, but none has ever been verified.
I'm seeing it, but I don't believe it. It's in the daytime.
Pictures really don't do it justice. It is just freakishly weird. You don't know how to explain it, whether it's a chupacabra or not.
Sometimes mistaken for a dog, a raccoon, or a wild coyote, the chupacabra often sneaks into local ranches, kills the livestock, and sucks the juicy blood out of the dead carcasses. A lot of strange photos have surfaced over the years showing a mangy beast with extraordinarily long fangs. Many have claimed to see this beast wandering at the edge of their properties or terrorizing their farms at night, and some have even claimed that the chupacabra has broken into their homes in desperate search of blood. The physical descriptions of the chupacabra vary depending on the region. The North American chupacabra is often described as a bizarre four-legged creature about the size of a large dog. Sometimes it's seen with no hair at all. Other times it has a very thin layer of dark hair. If you can get close enough to see, its skin tone looks bluish and shiny beneath its thin fur. Its back legs are usually much longer than the front legs, and its back has a crooked arch, giving it a grotesque look. Some say it looks like a cross between a canine and a kangaroo, which those combinations...
Yeah.
It's a bizarre combination, but a terrifying one at that.
Terrifying,
yeah. Because I don't know if you've seen those kangaroo videos, but kangaroos are... The people that live in the outback, I give you huge kudos because those things are mean, man.
Strong animals, too.
You see the like big, the, like roided jacked, out ones? I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like throwing some punches. Yeah.
And they can fucking kill you too with their legs, their feet have these like long ass claws on them and they jump up and kick you and can like disembowel you and shit.
No thanks.
So a kangaroo basically like, it's like a kangaroo wolf mix.
Yeah, basically.
Kangaroo with fangs.
Yeah.
I'm out. You're screwed because you're not gonna be able to outrun that thing. Yeah. That thing's not.
And in the dead of night too,
with red eyes, that's terrifying. A lot of chupacabras are often seen being very scrawny. It's actually rare to see a well-fed one, which for a good thing. And the only thing that can satisfy a chupacabra's hunger is 8 pints of animal blood. The chupacabra's most distinguishing feature is its bright white fangs hanging from its mouth, and it uses these fangs to pierce through the animal hide and suck the blood out of its victims. In the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, where the creature was first discovered, it actually looked more like a reptilian, which, if you're not familiar, is a species of alien that's supposedly out there. So it's got this very alien-like appearance. Here, the beast is sometimes as tall as a human, and it stands on its hind legs. It has massive claws on the end of its front limbs. Like other descriptions, it has pearly fangs that curve out of its mouth. Some say it only has 4 massive fangs and no other teeth along its gum line. Resting behind its teeth sits a long, forked tongue like a snake. And on its back is an arch of visible spines that stick out of its body, reaching from its neck to the base of its tail. Other times, it has the wings of a bat jutting from its back, and its natural stance often looks like it's about to pounce. Some have reported that this cryptid has a screeching howl. It breaks the silence of night after it attacks its prey. But most claim that the creature is completely silent, stealth-like. It prowls, attacks, and then leaves without making a single sound. The first reports of the chupacabra actually came from Puerto Rico in 1995, making it one of the newest creatures in cryptozoology, and the name chupacabra was first coined.
So the name literally translates to goat sucker in Spanish, which is where the name comes from. Chupar is to suck, and cabra is goat. So, but make sure not to say chupacabras, or because it could be something a little bit different than goat sucker. You have to be kind of
safe
sense. About that. Yeah. Some UFO enthusiasts first wanted the name to be EBAS, EBAS, which was basically translated to a Spanish acronym that meant alien biological entities. Kind of boring. And some were very convinced that these creatures were from space at first, which we'll get into a little bit later. But the comedian Silverio Perez was the first to give it its name, the Chupacabra. And after that, the name stuck.
Actually came from a comedian.
Yeah.
Interesting. I never knew that, actually. So the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is if you're not familiar with what cryptids are, you want to enlighten everybody? Like, what's a cryptid versus, like, just a normal animal?
Right, yeah. So it's a bit debated topic of what a cryptid actually is. It's essentially a creature or animal that exists that scientifically we don't agree that it exists.
Right, right.
Like, that's essentially
some it people think it exists. Others are like, scientifically, there's no evidence that it actually exists. So
exactly,
it's kind of in this limbo stage. I mean, and to be fair, if you were to go ask, you know, a wildlife biologist, it'd be like, that's a pseudoscience. You know, there's no, right, you yep know, it's the same as like saying aliens are real kind of thing.
Yeah. And they even say, like, you know, aliens are not cryptids, but they even say, like, woolly mammoths are cryptids, even though they once existed and were proved to exist on Earth. Since science has deemed them extinct, they are technically now a cryptid because, you know, if you saw one walking about, that would be the cryptid.
Well, and then the other thing too is that cryptids aren't mythological creatures. Like, they're not, right, it's not the same as like a unicorn or something that's like in mythology.
Yeah, not a Pegasus.
Or right, like right. That, yeah. It's, cryptids are based on real scientific creatures that exist that we have evidence for. Because if you look at other cryptids, they're usually a cross of multiple things, or there's, you know, some other element to it, whether it be alien or something like that, or it's just a species that we've never identified before. And so in it kind of falls into that category. There's like cryptozoology, where people, that's all they do is they look for these types of creatures. You know, we've covered a number of them, like the biggest being Bigfoot, obviously.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's tons of people who've like dedicated their lives to, you know, finding Bigfoot and claim to have evidence and things like that. And so, yeah, it's a very interesting field. I mean, a lot of people are like, don't believe in it whatsoever.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, as we'll get into a little bit later, there's a very real possibility there are creatures out there that are still, you know, unidentified and undiscovered. Yeah. So in March of 1995, 8 goats were the first animals killed by the Chupacabra. And their carcasses were found in their pens, drained of all their blood. Soon, hundreds of reports flooded into local tabloids for several months. At least 150 animals were killed this way, and some claim that up to 1,000 died. So obviously, when that many animals are dying and they're finding their carcasses with no blood in it, I mean, that's very concerning. And so the locals really began panicking. Soon, veterinarians studied some of the corpses and they noticed that many of the dead animals had around 3 puncture wounds the size of a drinking straw. And also, these wounds dug about 3 to 4 inches into the neck. Whatever had attacked these animals most likely dug its fangs deep into these goats and drank their blood until the carcasses were empty. For some locals, this wasn't the first time that they had actually seen attacks like this, especially in the town of Moca in Puerto Rico's northwestern region. February of 1975, the Vampiro de Moca, or the Vampire of Moca, killed 15 cows, 3 goats, and 2 geese, as well as 1 pig. Which obviously, in a lot of places in the world, there's tons of stray dogs running around. So at first, these attacks were blamed on just the stray dogs in the area. But the locals noticed that the wounds were found on top of the cattle's skull, and canines usually attack the necks or stomachs. Later, gossip spread that it was actually a group of local Satanists that killed and drained the animal's blood so they could use it for blood rituals. These attacks were soon forgotten until 2 decades later, when the attacks once again started up in 1995. The government put several civil defense officials in charge of investigating these attacks. The photographs taken of the goats showed distinct puncture wounds in the goat's neck, chest, and face. When they interviewed the locals, many had their own stories to tell. One of the first eyewitnesses was a woman named Madeline Tolentino. One night, during the second week of August 1995, she stood outside her house in Canovanas. She described the creature as a bipedal beast with dark eyes. And she described the eyes as damp and protruding, running up to its temples and spreading to the sides. Its arms were drawn back like it was ready to attack. And it reeked of sulfur. Sharp spikes came out of its back and ran up and down its spine. She noticed some mysterious round marks near its torso, and that region of its body seemed ashen, like it had recently been burned there. Its skin around the burn mark was dark purple, but where the skin had burned off, it was pinkish. Madeline was curious enough to get down on the ground and look to see if the beast had genitals, but it had nothing there. She said it was plain and sealed. The creature then turned away, hopped into the nearby road, and then disappeared into the tall grass on the other side. After this first sighting, her story hit the local news, and the chupacabra panic spread like wildfire across Puerto Rico. In the town it was first spotted, some claim that the creature was seen by locals every night for 4 weeks straight. People began setting up traps and barbed wire fences. Some even went out at night to try and find the predator, or possibly its nest. And as the months passed, other eyewitnesses gave different descriptions of the beast. A man named Misael Negron Melendez told officials what he saw one fall night in 1995. Misael had been standing on a second-story balcony when he noticed something moving on the far railing. It was almost too dark to see, but the thing looked almost human as it stood on two legs. He watched it for a moment, trying to figure out who or what it was. At first, he thought it was an intruder, but he could tell by the dark silhouette that it was something else, and he took a few steps closer, and that's when he noticed that the creature was unlike anything he'd ever seen before. This thing stood over 5 feet tall, had round red glowing eyes, and looked similar to a gargoyle. Two massive fangs jutted from the top row of teeth, and two more came out from the bottom. Misael retreated back into his home, hoping the strange creature would eventually go away. Didn't seem aggressive or violent, but it wasn't done with him. When Misael looked toward the balcony window, he noticed the red glowing eyes looking back at him. Luckily, the creature was only there on the railing, out of curiosity, or it might have been looking for prey. But it eventually wandered away, and Misael never saw it again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
With each eyewitness report, the creature's description changed as the months passed. One young college student saw a chupacabra about 3 feet tall with black eyes in the shape of eggs. Like the others, it had large fangs, but its back was arched, and foot-long spikes that looked like bones or cartilage ran down its back. Others reported seeing a large ape-like beast that could run on two legs. Others said it hopped like a kangaroo. One story from late 1995 claimed that a chupacabra burst through a glass window of their child's bedroom and eviscerated a nearby teddy bear, thinking it was a small animal. When the creature finally retreated, it left behind small traces of bloody meat from a previous kill and a strange puddle of slime on the bed. Many of the hundreds of sightings were later discredited, and skeptics claimed that the fear caused by the media made their imaginations run wild. Others thought it was just an aftershock from the summer blockbuster titled Species, which was about an attractive alien-human hybrid that successfully mates with a human male. What a fun movie that sounds like.
Yeah, we should watch it.
Yeah. It released in theaters only 1 month before the chupacabra sightings took off. Others said the sightings might have been the rhesus monkeys that run wild on an island off the eastern coast. They're mostly isolated on what's called Project Monkey Island, but there is a chance that some could have escaped and made it to the main island of Puerto Rico. They're known to be aggressive, and better watch out because they also carry herpes B, which can be deadly to humans upon contact. In the 1930s, these monkeys were brought to Puerto Rico for research purposes, so they're an invasive species. Today, they completely control the small island where roughly 2,000 of them live. There's a chance some locals just saw a rhesus monkey at night and thought it was a chupacabra, but that didn't explain the livestock being killed and drained of their blood. So even the mayor of Canovanas, Jose Quimo Soto, spent an entire year hunting for the chupacabras. So they took this very, very seriously. He actually gathered up armed militia week after week and rode around the region in trucks, looking for any strange creatures lurking in the dark. But they ended up coming up with nothing. Whatever beast was terrorizing the area had moved on to other regions in Puerto Rico. All across the island, people were waking up to find their sheep, chickens, and guinea pigs dead and drained of all their blood. And chupacabra sightings kept pouring in. Even 2 years after the media craze of 1995, similar attacks killed 30 pigs in 1997, but no one could figure out what the predator might have been. And this mystery spread from Puerto Rico to the surrounding regions. These eyewitness reports eventually got to Chile, Nicaragua, Mexico, and the southern United States.
So there are literally hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of species that have yet to be discovered, which kind of blew my mind when I looked into this. Some estimate there are almost 9 million species on Earth, but we've only discovered 1.2 million.
What?
Isn't that insane? And I swear to God, you can check my sources on this. This is like National Geographic.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Doesn't it? I think it was more like smaller as far as
sure.
predators go. We kind of have mapped out a lot of predators, but yeah, smaller creatures.
That's crazy though. That's a lot.
Isn't that a shitload?
So where are they? They're all either too small that we don't notice them.
Too small or in regions that
are largely unexplored.
Yeah, like imagine the Amazon or something, right?
Like I know there's a ton of stuff there that
we
don't
know. It's so deep and we just have barely scratched the surface in there.
God, we barely know shit about our planet though, because like the amount of the ocean that's unexplored is ridiculous amount too.
Think about all that. Yeah, everything that we haven't discovered down there as well.
There's just so much we still don't know.
Yep.
So how do we know that there's no chupacabra?
Exactly, right? Yeah.
How do we know there's no Bigfoot?
Exactly, yeah.
And is it possible that some of these creatures that are undiscovered are actually far more intelligent than, maybe even more intelligent than us? I mean, there's a possibility there could be, you know, intelligent in a different way, maybe not conscious in the way that we are, but intelligent in a way where they can just almost be invisible to us.
Avoid researchers, avoid detection. Yeah, absolutely.
That's wild.
Yeah. About a decade ago, a group of Yale ecologists put together what's called a map of life, which is a huge database of every discovered species. You should go check it out if you get the chance. It's called Map of Life.
Huh.
Last year, they decided to try and create a map where life has yet to be discovered. So instead of trying to compile all of the species that we know about, they're now trying to compile possibly what we don't know and where they are in the world. So the idea behind that is that, unfortunately, a lot of species that we have yet to discover, sadly, will most likely be extinct by the time we discover
There's
them.
There's so few of them, and just because of all the things affecting the wildlife out there, that they won't even make it.
Yep. Think of like the rapid changing, you know, climate change is contributing to the extinction of a lot of animals that we might never see with our own eyes. You know, we'll just find fossils or traces of them later.
Yeah, that's wild.
So they estimate that around 10 to 20% of species on Earth have been formally described throughout Earth's entire history. So only 10 to 20% possibly. I mean, those numbers can go back and forth, but that is a small amount that we've discovered.
That really is.
And if you take a look at this map that they're developing, there is a small percentage in southern Texas, decent percentages in Puerto Rico, plenty of undiscovered species. And plenty of undiscovered species in Central and South America. So really, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that crazy of an idea to think that the chupacabra or whatever this is that's killing these livestock animals
is some potentially undiscovered species.
Yeah, it's not that crazy of a thought.
You don't have to get... That's a really interesting point, because I think a lot of people's skeptical thoughts regarding cryptids is like, it just sounds so... unrealistic for a creature like this to exist, because they're comparing it to everything that we know about currently. They're like, oh, that doesn't, you know, doesn't make any sense for, you know, this creature to be able to suck blood out of a carcass without, you know, and disappear without a trace.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, well, when you consider how many species are still out there undiscovered, it's very possible that something like that could exist.
Yeah. And I mean, we're discovering new species every day. So
it's a big planet. That's the thing. You you forget about is like just how big this planet is.
And, huge.
And especially the areas where it's difficult to get to for us humans, just how much life is there. I mean, in all places of the earth, you know, from the deserts to the plains to the rainforests and things like that. There's, I mean, I think about how much life is actually under our feet at any given time that we just never see because it's underground.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the forest is a logical place. There's a lot of places for animals to hide in the forest. So, you know, there's probably a lot that just evade us.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times when scientists are discovering new species or new plants, things like that, they just kind of stumble upon it or they just happen to see it. Right. So you got to think that there's got to be creatures out there. So, you know, intelligent to the point where they, you know, maybe they've evolved to the point where their hearing is just like they can hear and smell things even farther than, you know, a dog or something like that, where it's able to detect human activity and basically disappear from sight before a human would ever even remotely come close to crossing paths with it. And that's when I think about cryptids, I'm like, that's what I tend to think of is like, I think people are maybe getting glimpses, but then imagination's taking over in a lot of cases. And so they're creating, you know, or they're referencing somebody else's description to try to help them make sense of what they're seeing. But in reality, they might be seeing something that is completely new. And I don't know. I think the possibility for cryptids is a very real one, and there's a high probability that some of these cryptids might actually exist.
Yeah, I think most people think of cryptids as like kind of fantasy creatures or something that's like wild. That
yeah,
you know, it's a cross between a goat and a bat and an alien and a you know because those are the more fantastical things. But I think you know. If you come back to Earth a little bit, yeah, absolutely. Like there's almost, I don't know. You think about something like, what was, that weird dog looking thing? Sorry.
Are you talking about the, one that washed up on the shore?
No, it went extinct, but they actually have film footage of it. But it looks like something out of
like
a movie
prehistoric
or something.
Yeah.
It went extinct a while back, but they still have this famous footage from it. It's called a thylacine. Have you seen those things? It looks like it's almost fake. And when you watch this old black and white footage of it, yeah, it looks like a fake animal. It definitely looks like a cryptid.
I wonder how many creatures that we believe are extinct are really not extinct too.
Yeah, and those count as cryptids, actually. That's like technically...
That's interesting.
I
just saw that they made a marine biologist made contact with this shark that's like super, super old, like hundreds of years old, and they never see them because they're way, way deep in the ocean, but like one came up shallow enough where they actually captured it on camera. I can't remember what the name of the shark is. I think it's like a Greenland shark or something, but they're like hundreds and hundreds of years old. I mean... It makes me wonder, especially in the ocean, like if prehistoric life is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so deep. I mean, the ocean's extremely deep. So it's very possible it just hangs at depths that we never get to.
One of my biggest fears is the ocean.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
Because of that,
the unknown and really trying to grasp how big it actually is and how deep it actually is, I can't really fathom
it. When you're in it, especially, and you let your mind go there, and like whenever I get in deep water and I can't see the bottom, my mind immediately goes to what's under me.
Yep.
And I always think, and I always remember, I've watched too much Shark Weeks where they're talking about how great whites hunt, and great whites hunt by like go deep and up because they like to jump out of the water.
I
always have this fear running through my head that there's like a great white stalking me from below and I can't see it. And any moment the shark's just going to come up and like take me up out of the water and rip me in half. But I mean, that's usually not what happens. They're intelligent animals and they usually cruise around and check out what they're hunting before they actually do the full move.
Yeah.
But I have that kind of same fear. It took me a long time to get over the fear of the ocean as well. You know, and I think it took me like looking at the statistics for shark attacks and things like that to really like kind of get over. I think
it's rare.
It's very rare to be, you know, and a lot of times it's surfers and things like that are out in deeper water and things like that.
Yeah, you're more likely to die in like a car accident.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to tell yourself that I could die on the way to McDonald's.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, I have a higher chance.
Legendary. With that said, maybe best case scenario is that if I'm going to go out, maybe a great white just surging up out of the water is a cool way to go.
I'll just be like, hopefully someone gets on footage at least. There's footage of it somewhere.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
But anyways, after the Puerto Rican sightings, the media frenzy surrounding the Chupacabra died down for a while. But almost a decade later, it ramped right back up again. Some of the most recent sightings of the Chupacabra have come from Texas. In 2004, some Texan ranchers noticed their livestock was being mysteriously killed at night in the town of Elmendorf. A local rancher named Devin McAnally shot and killed the beast in August of that year. It was about 20 pounds and it had a severe overbite and bluish skin that was mostly hairless, kind of what they compared to an elephant skin in a way. It became known as the Elmendorf Beast, but experts at the University of California ran DNA tests that confirmed it was just a hairless coyote. Multiple cases of chupacabras were later reported across the state. And while most predators eat their prey, because what else is the point other than play with, you know, just murder shit for fun? These attacks left the dead carcasses at the scene with giant holes in their necks and faces. Chickens would be found sprawled across the dirt floors of their coop with their carcasses intact, and there'd be no blood found at the scene. The ranchers thought these attacks might have been from a creature they had never seen before. And just like in Puerto Rico 1995, chupacabras had another boom in eyewitnesses almost a decade later in Texas. Many of those reports ended up just being hairless animals or strange-looking canines. So right now, I'm going to play you a clip of somebody who claims to have caught a real chupacabra.
Deep in the backwoods of South Texas, you never know what might be lurking around the corner or in your tree.
And he saw this strange animal sitting up here eating corn.
In Ratcliffe, a small town in DeWitt County, residents are certain they found the mythical, despicable chupacabra. And this time, it's alive. Jackie Stock says her husband caught the creature Sunday night.
He called me to come and look, and I said, Bubba, that looks like a baby chupacabra.
With its hairless back, large claws, countless teeth, and ferocious growl, many would say this animal fits the bill.
You know, I hunted coons, you know, 20 years with dogs and all that, and I ain't never seen nothing look like that right there.
Parma says one of the big signs it's not a raccoon is its growl.
Coon don't make that noise, or a possum. What makes that noise? I guess chupacabra does. I don't know.
Here in DeWitt County, most people are convinced this is the elusive chupacabra. But what do wildlife experts have to say?
The animal in the cage, as best I can tell from the view, was some form of a small canine.
Britt Ortego, a biologist with Texas Parks and Wildlife, says a canine can include a coyote, dog, or even a fox. He says the animal most likely has mange, which has caused it to lose its hair. But as for a chupacabra, well, he thinks otherwise.
It's never been proven to be a unique species. It was always something out there that allegedly either caused harm or threatened to cause harm to people or their livestock.
Chupacabra or not, right now this little guy is staying at the Stock household, living off a diet of cat food and corn, at least until someone can find out what it really is.
We've never seen anything like that on our place before.
In Ratcliffe, I'm Janelle Bluta, KAVU News.
Wow, what a clip. So many things to say about that one.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think two things really give it away. One, it's if you've ever seen a raccoon eat food, it looks like it picks it up with its hands.
And so this guy does.
And then they
sit on their like kind of back legs like that.
Right, too. Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing, which I just noticed when we rewatched it here, they're feeding it cat food, where I'm like, hold on, I thought a chupacabra was a sucking blood.
Yeah, why would you give it cat food?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things for me that just doesn't line up with the chupacabra is I don't see any fangs protruding.
There's a big
from
one,
its
yeah.
mouth, you know, it's small. This is like, this to me is like a raccoon with mange or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is so funny because they bring this, first of all, that, you know, everybody, especially international, you watch this clip. This is like Texas in a nutshell right here. Like, this is what everybody thinks of, like, Texas people is the people. Bubba, you know, you gotta love it, you know.
That guy's had a few beers.
Amazing
this
clip.
Morning.
Yeah. Amazing clip. But this thing's way too small to be a chupacabra. Like, it's so funny that this made the news there, though.
Right. And I think it's videos like this that kind of turn people off from, like, okay, this clearly is
chupacabra. Like, oh, this right? is just hilarious, honestly. Yeah, this is a, what do you even do with a coon like that, though?
Right.
If it is a raccoon, it's got kind of a dog face, though, to it.
It
like
does.
A canine face.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is this like a hybrid creature? Did they ever figure out what that creature was?
No, and it's weird that they're, quote unquote, like scientists that worked on it was like, it was probably a canine.
Looks like a canine, yeah. But I've never seen a canine have like little hands like that.
No.
It almost looks like a canine and a raccoon got together, and yeah. that was the result there. And then it got mange or something, which causes it to lose all its hair.
Yeah.
But if I saw that just outside in my yard or something, I'd probably think it was a chupacabra too,
I'd
honestly.
Be a little spooked.
Like, I'd be like, what the hell is this thing?
I'd definitely be a little spooked.
So even though there were many false claims over the years, people were still certain that the chupacabra was out there preying on local livestock. In Cuero, Texas, 2007, a rancher named Phyllis Canyon spotted what looked like a chupacabra at the edge of her property. She'd been driving along a dirt trail across her property when she spotted something in the grass. It crawled around in a clearing just inside her fence line. She was pretty familiar with the nearby predators, but she claimed it didn't look like anything that she'd ever seen before. She made sure to keep her distance when she stepped out of her truck to get a closer look. The creature also kept its distance. When it noticed her, it trotted off a little further toward the edge of the property. She tried to follow it, but it kept inching away from her the closer she got, until eventually it faded into the dark. A few nights later, Phyllis made a horrific discovery. She noticed that something had snuck into her chicken coops, killed the chickens, but left the bodies. Most predators in the state of Texas would tear apart the body and consume it. I mean, wouldn't you want the meat? Or they would drag the body to an isolated location and then eat it, you know, at that point. But whatever this predator was simply just leaving the lifeless bodies in the coop. And just like the other ranchers, Phyllis noticed the strangest thing was that there was no blood whatsoever. Besides the dried blood caked around the fatal wounds, the surrounding area had no trace of any red pools sucked into the dirt. Each of the chickens had been attacked in the thorax area of the throat. Some feathers were missing, but the entire carcass was still intact. Over the next few weeks, 27 of her chickens died in the same way, and whatever it was, it had no interest in eating the meat. It only wanted the chicken's blood. Phyllis's neighbor soon mentions she probably had a chupacabra problem. Whatever this beast was, she could finally put a name to it, and she wasn't the only one to report this creature near her property. Other sightings were reported in other rural cities across Texas. And some of the cities were over 100 miles away. Soon enough, Phyllis would get an up-close view of one. Only a few weeks later, on Saturday morning around 7 a.m., she got a call from one of her neighbors. He told her that someone had accidentally hit and killed a strange-looking animal on the road at the edge of her property. Phyllis hopped in her truck and headed down toward the county road where the animal had been killed. At the edge of her property, she spotted a dark creature lying dead on the side of the road. She got out of the truck, grabbed an empty feed sack from the trunk, and cut it in half. She set it on the ground and dragged the carcass on top of it. The strange beast was about the size of a medium dog, and it had almost no hair on it.
So we mentioned mange before, and many skeptics of chupacabras often claim that these are just hairless animals or nearly hairless animals that right. suffer from mange. So mange is a skin disease caused by microscopic mites. And these tiny little mites, they multiply quickly and they can cause serious health problems to the host. One of the big symptoms is hair loss and irritated skin. It's usually caught from other wild animals or other pets. Some mites are normally found on dogs, but in maybe small, safer numbers. You know, if you have a dog that's constantly outside, it's not that uncommon. But there are two forms of contagious mites that can infest an entire household of people, pets, furniture, wow, carpets, bedding. It can get, these things can get everywhere. Some of the most obvious signs of mange are, it's like a dandruff-like flakes on the animal. Sometimes if you look close enough, you can actually see these tiny little mites moving around. Yeah, it's kind of disgusting. Symptoms are hair loss, intense itching, swollen feet. Sometimes the canines can even lose all of their fur. They can also suffer from constricted blood vessels, fatigue, and exhaustion. And this kind of plays into the, if these are chupacabra sightings, since they're fatigued and exhausted and debilitated by this disease, the predators that suffer from mange might target livestock as easy prey. So they wonder if...
But why not take the meat?
Exactly.
That's why the big kill question. The animals and not take the meat?
Yeah, that's
what's the point of that? You're not going to be able to sustain yourself, especially if you're in poor health,
yep,
with just blood.
Yeah.
Got to get that protein, baby.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like, you're not... That's what's weird to me is like, why would these... you know, mange coyotes just be, or mange stray dogs be trying to just pull the blood out? And how are they doing that?
Right. Yeah. That's right? Kind of terrifying.
Unless their fangs are straws. How are you getting that blood out?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's a big old mystery. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. But mange looks absolutely horrific.
Yeah. It's very scary. If you've ever seen a dog with mange.
Yeah. I have two that are outside most of the day. And I'm always like worried if they're going to bring in some parasite or something from inside. Yeah. And luckily I don't have like a lot of, cause a lot of those mites and things like that, I feel like are in, you know, brush or trees or, you know, obviously in Colorado we have ticks and things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, ugh, bringing one of those into the bed or something. And then yeah, it makes its way over to me. It's like, oh,
that'd be scary.
An even better host here.
Yeah. Right. Now, your dog should be fine, though, because a lot of the times it's when you come in contact with other animals that have these mites. So
that's true.
They'll most likely be fine if they're just hanging out in the backyard.
And medications, too, right?
Yeah.
Like you know, you give them the little chewables and stuff.
Yep.
Every so often, and that helps keep the ticks and fleas off of them. And I think it does other mites as well.
Yep.
But, God, have you seen bot flies, though? Has your dog ever gotten a bot fly?
No. Are those the ones that dig into the skin? Yeah.
They create open wounds. Ugh. Yeah, Bernie had one.
Aww.
Yeah, on his stomach. And I don't even know how. I think it was like he picked it up off of tall grass, is oftentimes where they kind of hang out. And he, you know, he had this like wound and it was just like, it's nasty because it like pulses. Oh. And I'll put in a clip of it. So... Warning, it's nasty looking. Like it's like this open wound. Yeah, they burrow themselves in and then basically grow into a fly and then fly out of this open wound.
Hell no.
And it's not a big deal. Like you just, you know, you can do it yourself, pull it out yourself. But I took him into the vet and one of the vet techs like I was like, oh yeah, we can get it out. And then just like it's like a pimple, you like kind of squeeze it and then you just pull it out. And it was literally like a little larva thing. Ugh, but it was gross. Like moving around and like breathing and like, yeah, it was nasty.
Did you squish it?
No, but I watched them. They're like, oh yeah, we'll take care of this for you. I was like, yeah, I don't want to ever see that again. I might actually have a photo of it on my phone and I'll put it in here of Bernie's bot fly. But Bernie was like, it wasn't a big deal. It's weird. Like he didn't even know it was there.
Wow.
So it doesn't like necessarily cause like pain for them. I think over time it can. I caught it earlier on that it wasn't like, but you know.
They're much bigger than like ticks.
Oh yeah.
Ever,
oh
right? Yeah. It's like much they're bigger. Pretty big.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're like, I'd say like almost like a
size of a pill.
Yeah. Like a pill or sunflower seed. Like yeah. they're decently big, but it's just nasty. Cause then you pull it out and they just have this like little hole in them.
Will they do that to humans too?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
I might have to do a little inspection when I get home.
Yeah.
On myself.
I mean, you can tell like that they have it like, cause it starts, they make their way in and they just start opening up this bigger and bigger hole. Oof. In your animal. Yeah. Disgusting.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Phyllis and her neighbors had seen the different types of mange while working on the ranch, but as far as they could tell, this creature wasn't suffering from any kind of mange. Some of the neighbors had even shot and killed mangy coyotes in the recent past, but it was rare to find any that had all of their hair gone, like the one Phyllis found. Animals that suffer from mange usually still have patches of fur. So the beast that Phyllis found seemed like a hairless animal, but she couldn't tell what kind. Some thought it might have been a Zolo dog, or a Mexican hairless dog. Many believe that this animal is often mistaken for the chupacabra, but the creature that Phyllis found looked more grotesque, as the skin was dark and tough, much like an elephant's. Its stomach was large and bloated, like it had just ate a hearty meal, and it had long fangs pointing out of its mouth, much larger than a normal dog's canine teeth. She ended up taking a skin sample from the carcass and she sent it in for a DNA analysis. She also sent skin samples to a pathologist to check if the animal had a skin disease. She also sent a bit of its hair to another researcher to compare it to the Puerto Rican hair samples that they believed were from chupacabras, and she waited for weeks for the results. Meanwhile, she removed the creature's head and froze it so she could get other specialists to study it. Several cryptozoologists actually visited her property to try and find any evidence of another creature or catch a live chupacabra. They set up traps filled with bloody meat and live chickens, hoping that they would attract the bloodthirsty creatures. They even spread out coyote urine near their video cameras and motion sensors, and they planted machines that simulate live animal calls to try and lure whatever predators might be out on the property at night. But they had hundreds of acres to cover, and there were other animals that roamed around the property. In the end, all they found was a possum, an armadillo, and a few scratch marks on a fence post. Later, the lab results came back and the hair sample was confirmed to be a type of canine. The Puerto Rican hair samples were also confirmed to be canine. The lab technicians thought that these were most likely from a dog. As for the skin sample, the lab couldn't rule out mange, since the animal had been dead for too long after the sample was collected. But the results showed that this creature did have a full coat of fur at one point. Around the same time, other photographs of alleged chupacabras were sent to labs at Texas A&M to compare bone structures. Many of their fangs were larger than regular dogs, but after dental and DNA comparison, the other animals were confirmed to be domesticated dogs except for Phyllis Canyon's discovery. The DNA sample of the creature she had found matched with a coyote on the maternal side, but on the paternal side, it matched with a Mexican wolf. So the animal was indeed a confirmed hybrid. This was very odd since these species rarely produce offspring together, but it wasn't impossible. These two species are known to overlap in places like Arizona, Texas, and northern Mexico, even though it's very rare.
I dove a little bit into hybrid species, and there are more than I thought there were in the world. Especially in places like northern Canada, there's a cross between a grizzly bear and a polar bear. Sometimes they're called growlers.
That's scary.
Or pizzly bears. Yeah.
Pizzly bear.
Yeah, right. That doesn't sound as scary as it probably is in real life.
Was this like in nature or?
Yeah, they found these in nature. Yeah.
Grizzly and a polar bear together.
Yep. There's a thing called a zonkey, which is a cross between a zebra and a donkey.
I've seen those before.
Nice. A whale and a dolphin, a wolfin, a cow and a yak, which is a zhou, a camel and a llama, which is a kama. And one of the more famous ones, if you've seen Napoleon Dynamite, is the liger, which is the first time
my personal favorite. Love ligers.
Yeah. But the rule of thumb is that if two creatures can't produce offspring, then they're not the same species. So basically, long story short, the more different animals are from each other, the less compatible their DNA is. Even though we're very similar to chimpanzees.
We couldn't cross with a chimpanzee.
Yeah. Let's say if I tried to mate with one, we're not going to successfully.
Don't.
Yeah, I won't. I won't try. And you shouldn't either. But we can't produce offspring.
Yeah.
But
thank God, that would be scary.
If
we could cross anything.
Yeah. We think chupacabras are scary. Imagine just a humanoid chimpanzee running around.
Oh my God. Or a gorilla gator.
Now we're talking.
That would be crazy.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
I just
forget about King Kong.
Yeah. I would stop going outside.
That'd be scary. Well, that's the thing is you'd have all kinds of problems. There'd be too many predators.
Yeah.
The predators, the whole food chain would get completely fucked.
Okay, now it's got me thinking. Great white shark with an elephant.
First, I don't know how that would go down. How would a great white shark ever come in contact with an elephant?
We'd have to do it in a lab.
Yeah, I guess if you were in a lab. God, there's a movie called The Cabin in the Woods or something. I don't know if you've ever seen movie.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing this experiment on everybody in there, but then the company that's behind it is crossbreeding all these.
Gets
wild.
Yeah.
That movie's what the fuck?
I love that movie.
But it plays out that a lot of those scenarios, if you were to cross a bat with this, so that, a bat and a wolf. Would that give you a chupacabra?
There you go. Possibly.
Hmm.
Interesting. But yeah, it's essentially impossible.
Scientifically,
we can't do it, unfortunately. Or fortunately.
But within the same species is a different story, though. So that's why you can get... I mean, that's why we have all these dog breeds now, right?
Exactly, yeah. And if we actually... Neanderthals, we existed together with Neanderthals, Homo sapiens Neanderthals, existed around 45,000 years ago, and we share roughly 2-4% DNA or something along those lines. We were able to crossbreed with a Neanderthal because our species were very similar. We're essentially almost the same, right? So that's why, in theory, if a chupacabra does exist, a lot of people think it's some sort of hybrid canine, like coyote, dog, wolf, something along those lines.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't see why it's out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure numbers-wise, probably not a huge amount of them out there.
Super
if they do
rare.
Exist, but it doesn't seem like it. I don't know if you could rule it out and say it's impossible for this to happen.
Right. I mean, if you were to ask someone on the street if you've ever even heard of a cross between a grizzly bear and a polar bear,
they'd probably be like, get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, exactly. But they actually exist. They've discovered those.
But I guess if you were to consider the Puerto Rican version of the chupacabra, if you look at that one, there's clearly some amphibian influences there, right? Yeah,
it's
reptile influences.
It's a bit harder to say that would be a hybrid animal because you have a lot of things going on. You have the ridged spine back with,
unless it's just an undiscovered creature.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
And that's scary to think about.
Yeah, that'd
that
be terrifying.
Thing's real because that thing's terrifying. But after Phyllis got the lab results, she still felt that something wasn't adding up. Even if the creature was a hybrid, she wondered why the predator was just sucking the blood out of the chickens and leaving the carcasses. The DNA came back as coyote and Mexican wolf, but neither of those animals are known to suck blood. Eventually, Phyllis brought the creature to be taxidermied, and when they mounted it on the stand, the taxidermist got a coyote mold and a wolf mold and then blended them together so the hide would fit. He noticed that the carcass's tail was longer than a wolf and a coyote's tail. Phyllis also had 13 different specialists to come look at this creature, and according to Phyllis, none of them could identify the animal. The only other higher vertebrate animal that has evolved to suck blood is the vampire bat, and this adaptation has taken millions of years to develop. It also takes very specific characteristics to work. Vampire bats have an anticoagulant in their saliva, and they also have a very distinct liver and kidney digestive system. So if this creature was just a hybrid animal, it would be extremely rare. But some argue that the chupacabra might not be a natural creature at all. It might actually be the result of a man-made accident. In southern Texas, some conspiracy theorists argue that coal-burning power plants might be to blame. These plants emit large amounts of sulfur dioxide and hard metals like lead into the atmosphere. In some scientific studies, scientists have discovered that sulfur dioxide is a mutagen. It has altered the cellular structure and genetic makeup of laboratory mice, especially their digestive system. In 1995, a group of school children in South Central Minnesota discovered dozens of frogs that were grossly deformed. Some had three legs or one eye, some even had multiple feet, or their bodies were contorted and twisted. It got to the point that deformed frogs were being reported across three different counties in Minnesota. So the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency began looking into the frogs and their eggs to see if they were exposed to something in their habitats. And they noticed that the frogs began their mutations in the tadpole stage. And over several years, scientists collected 13,000 northern leopard frogs. 6.5% of them had deformities, which was 4% higher than usual. Some areas had mutations as high as 67%. Scientists weren't sure if it was because of greenhouse gases, pesticides in the water, loss of wetlands, or parasites latching onto the tadpoles. It even might have been a combination of everything. But even the public became concerned about their drinking water, which rightfully so. And the local government in some counties began shipping bottled water to every household as a result. And after 6 years of research, there was still no explanation. And the lead scientists had to fight through layers of bureaucracy, of course. Most funding for the research was later cut off in 2001. And to this day, we still don't have an answer to the deformities. Some examples like this led to the theory that environmental problems could be mutating coyotes or other canines in the regions of South Texas. Which seems very possible to me, honestly. I mean, especially with the amount of oil rigging that's going on out there and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's pipelines everywhere. It's possible that some of these chemicals could be getting into the groundwater.
For sure.
I mean, even just thinking about, you know, what happened in East Palestine.
Yep.
In Ohio. And just thinking, like, I mean, a report just came out the other day, 43,000 fish and other creatures have already died as a result of all of these chemicals being leaked, the vinyl chloride and things like that being leaked into the groundwater and the streams and everything. And so it's like, if animals are to drink of that, you know, are they, you know, they'll get sick and a lot of them will die, but is there possibilities that it could affect their DNA? So when they do reproduce, you get deformities or, you know, some strange looking creatures.
Exactly.
Like, that's pretty possible.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
So in South Texas, many believe that the mutated canines are the chupacabras. Some think these mutations also explain why the chupacabras look so different in separate places around the world, which actually makes some sense. Other theories claim that the chupacabra creatures are actually alien life forms, and they were sent to the Earth with the sole purpose of causing mayhem and entertaining the more intelligent aliens. Several UFOs were spotted around the same time that the chupacabras killed livestock in 1995, and many locals didn't think that it was a coincidence. An eyewitness in November 1995 once spotted a luminous disc landing on top of a local radio station. This was in Barranquitas, a small town in the center of Puerto Rico. The station's electronics actually went haywire when this thing landed, and one of the electronics that hadn't been used in 40 years mysteriously turned on even though it wasn't plugged in. No dead animals or chupacabras were spotted in the immediate area, but many believe this was one of the UFOs transporting the blood-sucking creatures to Earth. Or these beasts might have been domesticated pets to the aliens, but they escaped the ships or got lost and couldn't return home. Others think that chupacabras might have been a science experiment from NASA. Supposedly, NASA wanted to genetically engineer a blood-sucking monster for whatever reason, according to the theory. And eventually, a NASA spokesperson, Brian Welch, later publicly denied this theory, saying, you know, this ain't what we doing here, all right? We're not making blood-sucking creatures. We're trying to go to Mars. Because it was starting to catch on. Brian Welch even mentioned, before this, it was the face on Mars, and before this, it was modifying the weather. Before that, we were beaming radiation from satellites to make people impotent. But still, the bizarre origin theories didn't stop, and they weren't exclusive to the US government. At one point, Juan E. Lopez, the president of the Puerto Rico House of Representatives Agricultural Commission, opened an official investigation into the chupacabra. They take it very seriously down in Puerto Rico.
Oh yeah.
He hoped this would finally put the panic to rest, but it didn't. The more the government confronted the problem, the more traction the cryptid got in the media. Some also claim that the Chilean military had once discovered a nest of chupacabra eggs and hid them away in an incubator inside a research facility. But Hurricane Hugo moved through the area in 1989, and the chupacabra hatchlings were said to have escaped when the storm hit the research facility. In the following weeks, local ranches were invaded and the livestock was found dead and bone dry in their pens. In Puerto Rico, many believe the creature was possibly some type of military bioexperiment. Since the island has had such a strong military presence since the 1930s, many of the bases were used as research and development facilities for several classified projects over the decades. So one of these projects might have actually been a failed cloning experiment that led to the creation of the chupacabra. Others believe they're the result of genetic manipulation experiments gone wrong.
So, disclaimer, I don't think any of the following info that I'm going to bring forward right now is verifiable, but I do think it's interesting, and this was a part of kind of in tandem with this conspiracy
theory. Is this tinfoil hat time?
A little bit.
All right.
So, time to put them on. So back in the 1960s, there was a Soviet era doctor. They're always Soviet era, aren't they?
Of course.
There was a Soviet era doctor named Cyan Kanchsen. He was from China, but later conducted his tests in the USSR. His goal was to transfer biological information with the use of microwave radiation through his device that's called a biotron. He wanted to see if it was possible to transmit DNA information from one living organism through an electromagnetic field into another living organism. At first, he started with just manipulating plants like wheat and corn, but then he eventually started testing on animals. So during this one supposed test in 1961, he took 1,100 chicken eggs. 600 were used as the control group, so they didn't do anything to them. He then irradiated 500 chicken eggs with bioinformation from a duck.
Whoa.
480 of them hatched. 90% of those that hatched appeared to have a change in the arrangement of their eyes, and 80% of them had flat duck-shaped heads. 25% had webbing between their toes. None of these changes were observed in the control group, which they did nothing to. In the 1980s, he then tried to send the bioinformation from young seedlings into older mice to see if they would regenerate. Supposedly, more than 60% of the treated mice ended up eating more food. They ran faster. They had smoother hair. 30% saw an increase in sexual activity and even had their reproductive functions restored. And their life expectancy was also increased by 50%. So it was kind of stories like these that creeped out, and it made people think that what if the chupacabra might be a result of something like this
biological, like an experiment gone wrong.
Exactly.
Type of,
yeah.
Which it doesn't seem completely out of the realm of possibility. Obviously, we have virtually no evidence to really say, you know, that this type of thing has been going on. I mean, we we've done cloning, though. We've cloned animals. So if you consider that for a second, and then you also consider the fact that we now have the ability to edit genes, you know, we have gene editing going on for humans and things like that. It's like, is it out of the realm of possibility that there could be potentially classified projects going on within the government or military or even civilian companies that are looking into this for whatever reason, whether it be to develop some type of creature that could be, you know, the ultimate killing machine to be used in military operations. And they're trying to, you know, I mean, we know they do animal testing, which is horrific, but we know that that is going on. So it doesn't seem completely out of the realm of possibility for them to be tempting to cross different animals and edit their genetics and try to create some type of hybrid creature that they could use to carry out operations militarily. So that to me is terrifying to think about for one, because you know, it kind of takes me to like Stranger Things, you know, that whole concept of it. Or, you know, is there the possibility that these are not creatures of this realm, and in fact they are interdimensional creatures that, you know, a lot of times we aren't necessarily able to see because they're in another layer of reality, I guess is the best way to put it, or another dimension, and therefore are able to cross through dimensions. And so that's why we see them briefly, much like UFO sightings happen. You know, you see UFOs and then they're gone, they disappear, and it's like, well, where did they go? And it's like, well, a lot of them can travel in between the dimensions, and, you know, or different layers of light, things that, you know, we can only see so much. So is it possible that these things are crossing between different thresholds? That's just another theory that I've heard. Some even think that the chupacabra might have been created specifically as a bioweapon. The idea was that the government would create as many as they could and unleash them onto the enemy's land. The purpose was to kill the enemy's livestock and make people fear going outside and kill off their food source. I mean, think about that. That'd be a great way to eliminate, you know, a lot of food for people, is if you had a creature that just went around and killed all of it and couldn't be caught. Conspiracy theorists believe that the U.S. government might be hiding thousands of chupacabras for this exact purpose. The ones that have already been released have been tracked to see how efficient they are. So the chupacabras that have been spotted are from test runs that are being monitored. One of the strangest theories about the chupacabra dates back to the idea that aliens sent these creatures to Earth to spread the HIV/AIDS virus. In the 80s and 90s, HIV/AIDS spread across the U.S., so some conspiracy theorists try to connect it to the blood-sucking beasts. That's a bit of a stretch, if you ask me. Another theory claims that these creatures aren't hybrid canines or alien life forms at all. They're actually human beings from the future. That's crazy. They are children sent back from the future to try and warn us about our behavior. Just like the frogs of Minnesota, one major chemical crisis will supposedly occur in the near future, and these chemicals will warp our genetic makeup so much that our children will evolve into monstrous human beings that look like chupacabras. Please, God, no.
Yeah.
My God, that sounds like worst case scenario there. But beyond the theories of aliens, bioexperiments, military conspiracies, or humanoids, some believe the chupacabra is a supernatural being that cannot be explained by science. A cryptozoologist named Nick Redfern once traveled to Puerto Rico to learn more about the beast. He eventually met up with a group of Puerto Ricans who had lived on the island for generations, and they told him that the chupacabra is a supernatural creature from another realm. And to see a chupacabra, one must perform specific rituals to conjure the beast. They told him about secret figures holding infernal rites in the dead of night. They sacrifice goats and chickens to invoke the blood-sucking chupacabra. They claim that it's easy to bring the chupacabra into this world, but it's much harder to get it to leave. And the ones you see crawling around at night are the ones they fail to send back to their realm. These supernatural beings can paralyze livestock just by looking at it. Supposedly, humans are more resistant to its eyes, but their glare can still make us nauseous and weak. Luckily, the chupacabras are sensitive to light, which is why they hunt at night. So if you ever come across one, you should shine a bright light. Get that iPhone flashlight out and hope you got enough battery. But even if you can't, the chupacabra has never attacked a human. So as long as the beast hasn't gained a taste for human blood, which let's hope that's not the case, I think you'll be a-okay. But the legend of the chupacabra has remained a mystery for the last 3 decades, and the creature is still spotted from time to time in different countries around the world. In recent years, sightings have even spread to the other side of the globe, in Russia, the Philippines, and Ukraine. and anywhere livestock has died under mysterious circumstances with no blood at the scene. The chupacabra is always to blame. But no one knows whether this cryptid is actually an alien from outer space, or a government bio-experiment gone wrong, a supernatural beast from another realm, or a hybrid canine. Unknown to science. We only know that if a chupacabra is out there somewhere, it's developed one of the rarest appetites on Earth, which is that thirst for blood. The idea of it being a supernatural, or like I was kind of saying earlier, an intradimensional creature is one that I always consider. And again, it's hard to, you know, when you say that, you sound absolutely insane. Cause it's like, what do you mean it's intradimensional, dude? There's no evidence for that. I'm like, yeah, no shit. There's no evidence.
How could there be? Yeah.
We do know that there's multiple dimensions. So it's possible that these things are able to manipulate gravity on our planet and able to move in between different dimensions or something like that. Or if you want to get really superstitious, it's just something supernatural completely, almost like a spirit, so to speak. And if you look at indigenous peoples from all over the world, it's interesting that people report seeing the chupacabra in other parts of the world too. It's not just Puerto Rico, this, you know, Texas, southwestern part of North America, but in the Philippines and things like that. It's interesting. So it's like, is it the same creature, or is it something that, you know, is there some type of supernatural being that comes to visit, depending on what you're doing? And, you know, it's kind of just fallen under this name of chupacabra.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
But I mean, you look at like Native American cultures, and I bring them up a lot because, you know, there's so much history there, and just, you know, spirit animals and things like that are something that have, you know, been a part of their belief system and culture for hundreds and thousands of years. And so is it something like that, like some type of spirit animal, or, you know, something that's conjured by somebody or through rituals or rites or something like that?
Yeah. I've said this before, and I know this is why people hate me on this podcast, but I am more of a skeptic. So I think where my head goes is I'm more on board with hybrid creatures, or possibly something natural. Like if this is found all over the world, it possibly could be regional changes, or like we brought up the vampire bat. It has taken a very long time to develop a taste for blood and to have the body to do that. I could get on board with there being certain creatures out there that we have yet to discover that can suck blood. As far as a supernatural chupacabra,
it'd be thing with that is, could a supernatural animal like that physically take blood from, you know, something here that's physical and living and kill it like that? Cause I mean, it's like,
that would be so, that'd be terrifying.
Crazy. Yeah. That'd be insane. I mean, no humans have ever died from, you know, a spirit before, or a ghost or a possession or haunting or something like that.
Right.
So it's like, why in the animal realm would it be different? You know, yeah, there was some type of supernatural animal.
That is a good point too. Cause even the chupacabra has never been known to attack a human. So,
but what the fuck is sucking these animals' blood in Texas then?
Yeah.
What are the theories? It's a vampire bat? Landing on it and...
I mean, that would be possibly, but like to get these widespread reports of this happening, that's the one thing that has stumped me, is the blood-sucking aspect of it. I could understand if livestock is dying and things like that, but that's the one thing that stumps me. I don't even have a theory on why.
That's what's so weird about it. I mean, you could even go as far as saying, like, you look at like cattle mutilations, which we'll have to do an episode on in the future. And like, you know, this is not an isolated thing. Like the livestock and especially the goats having their blood sucked out and having the puncture wounds, is kind of unique to the chupacabra. But then you go look at the, especially here in Colorado, there's a huge history of cattle mutilations happening. And you look at the way these cows die, they're often sucked of blood. And this, it's like a huge mystery in itself of like what wants the blood. And so then that's where my mind goes is like, well, if there are aliens here, or, you know, there's some secret organization or otherworldly beings that are interested in gathering our blood for some reason, there's a resource for that. What for, I don't know. Is I don't know if it's to study us, to study life here on Earth. Is it some sort of driving force behind what they're doing or how they live? Or, you know, what is it? What's the point of the blood?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're leaving all that meat behind. So why the blood only? What's the blood for?
Kind of a waste, right? Yeah.
It's like, unless there's a bunch of like Satanist aliens out there that are just like, you know, they doing blood rituals 24/7.
And now we're talking here.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're getting into some really realistic stuff here. I mean, talk about worst nightmare.
Satanic aliens who just want our blood.
Aliens doing blood rituals on humans. Like, That'll keep you up at night.
What's Danny's take on this?
Yeah, what do you think?
I definitely don't think that it's satanic aliens. I'm kind of with Austin on this one. I do believe if it does exist, it's probably more of a hybrid creature, but I am stumped on the blood-sucking aspect. And I know you guys mentioned vampire bats a lot.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is that they're the only animal that's not an insect that can survive off blood. And if we go on that theory that maybe it was crossbred with a vampire bat, it seems almost impossible because a large vampire bat is 2 ounces.
Yeah, right, they're very small.
Yeah, and they're like, not taking that much blood.
You know, they're taking milliliters.
Yeah.
So what has the capacity to take all the blood from a goat?
I mean, a human.
Do you think that this is a hoax? Do you think some of these guys hoax this?
I think...
kill their own livestock.
I think a lot of people probably did, especially when the media craze starts doing it. They're like, oh, everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame, right? So I could totally believe that a lot of people would kill off some livestock just to get the local news to roll in. I'm not sure if that's always the case. Some people might have just had, could it possibly have been that the blood did drain out and people are lying about it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. It's like how much time elapses from when the animal dies, you know, like how much investigation is actually happening in a lot of these cases where, you know, people are reporting that the chupacabra attacked their livestock. It's like, it's always, and that's the hard thing with cryptozoology. It always seems like the investigations are murky. The evidence is, you know, so at best. So yeah, it's like,
and like, why wouldn't you, if you really thought that there was a chupacabra near your property, I would be not only just to protect my animals, but also if I actually did want 15 minutes of fame, slap up some night vision cameras all over the place. Even maybe even put a little pen far out there to
try to trap
lure
it.
Them in. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, apparently, I mean, it's clearly able to, I mean, the fact that it's able to get into a closed off chicken coop and get out without leaving a trace behind. I mean, that's where I kind of go into this idea of like, this is something not of this realm, that it has the ability, you know, is not bound by the physical constraints of our reality and gravity and things like that. And it's able to, I mean, cause it's like, usually when coyotes attack a chicken coop, there's evidence of the coyotes, how they got in. Mm-hmm. You know, they're able to dig under the fence. They're able to, you know, bust through somehow and get in. You know, it's not, you know, unless the chupacabra is a teleporting, you know, hybrid animal that can just be like, oh, I'm going to go right in here and then pop back out and nobody will ever see me. There's no evidence of my entry. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, well, what are these things? So it's like, either this is a hoax. Most of it's hoaxes and people sadly killing their own livestock for what, 5 minutes of fame, like you were saying, or this is something that has abilities that we just have never seen before. And which is, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe
we can't keep it out.
Maybe I'm more of a skeptic because I don't want to live in a world that shit just starts busting into coops and sucking the blood out and leaving without a trace.
Well, and it would, you know, if it wasn't like a high, just a hybrid animal or something like that, it would also kind of explain how it showed up in that kid's room.
Right. Yeah. Busting inside. Through. That's pretty aggressive. Right?
Which I think it explained how he got into the house, but I don't know. I tend to, you know, I'm very much a, like, I live in La La Land sometimes with some of this stuff, but like, I do like the idea of there being creatures out there that either are undiscovered, have abilities beyond anything we've ever seen before, which I don't think is totally out of the realm of possibility. Yeah, how do we know that?
I agree with
things
that.
Haven't evolved in a way that they're just, you know, we always have considered ourselves as a top. We're the top of the food chain for everything, right? We're at the very top because we can kill any animal on this planet and consume it if we wanted to. But what if there are animals that are beyond our capabilities and even our intelligence? You know, a lot of people say that Bigfoot or Sasquatch is very, very intelligent. And that's why it's always able to evade us, is because its intelligence is really high. Its senses are really high. It's just evolved that way and it's able to, you know, stay out of the lens.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I hope that there are more intelligent beings out there compared to us. We're not that smart, really, at the end of the day.
Some of us aren't, that's for sure. Yeah. Some are more than others, but so I leave it open to all sorts of possibilities. I just don't understand. This would be a crazy hybrid animal that is capable of sucking blood and also somehow vanishing and, you know, stealth like and evading capture all these years. Or it's a hoax, or it's some type of supernatural creature that just defies all explanation.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I leave it. I mean, cryptids are hard because it's like, there's very little evidence to go off of that backs up the existence of the cryptid. But at the same time, there's all these experiences with it. There's all these sightings with it. So it's like, unless you completely disregard all those people and say, they're all full of shit, they all didn't see anything, they're making it up. Which I think in some cases is true, but I think there is a large number of people where they actually do see shit that doesn't make sense, defies explanation. And so I don't think you can completely rule out the possibility of the chupacabra or any cryptid for that matter.
But yeah.
That's just me.
No, I'm on board with that. I wouldn't.
So even though you're skeptic, you still leave it open to the possibility. You're not like, this is all bullshit. This is fantasy right here. What about you, Daniel? Are you?
I mean, I definitely think there's a creature that's doing this to livestock. I don't mean to disagree with you, Austin, but I don't think farmers would be killing their own livestock just right. for 15
minutes. That seems like a horrible waste of money.
Exactly. It just seems like a financial, like exactly. It seems like a financial just death sentence. I mean, one cow goes for a couple grand and a goat goes for like $500 or $600. And if you're, you know, a farmer in Puerto Rico and you have, that's your whole livelihood.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to kill a cow and suck all of its blood to ruin all the meat.
What does that even get you?
Exactly.
Ultimately. Right,
that's a good
what's
point.
What's the benefit
of
it?
That was a dumb take on my part. I take that one back.
No, but I don't think it's necessarily, I think it's a pretty logical one to think, you know, because there are people do crazy shit and do stuff for attention purely. It defies all logical sense whatsoever, you know, but people do things for attention. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's completely detrimental to their situation.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably rare case that would happen, but I'm sure it's happened before. But yeah, that's a great point. You know, I don't see. So it's still, it leaves such a, this giant mystery here of what is killing these livestock.
Yeah.
What's sucking the blood from them. And is it a chupacabra or is it some undiscovered creature? Or maybe even it's some sort of genetic experiment gone wrong, cloning gone wrong or something. And there's just these wild hybrid creatures running around in the night. Which definitely makes you question going out roaming in the dark for sure. But I'm going to leave it there for today. But maybe you've had family who've told you stories of, you know, encountering a chupacabra, especially if you're from Texas. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And what do you think? Chupacabra exists? Yes or no? Let us know in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. But thanks again for joining us today for another episode of the Lights Out podcast. We'll see you next week with another dark one. Until then, lights out, everybody.
Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.